We are live for a new and last episode of the year 2023 of the Electric Podcast. I am Fred Lambert, your host. And as usual, I'm joined by Seth Wintraum. How are you doing today, Seth?
I'm good.
All right. I hope you're ready because we don't have that much news to discuss today. Obviously, it's the holiday period of time. It's very slow news-wise. There's not that much. Companies are not sending out anything. And there's just not that much happening in the EV world the last week of the year. But we still have a few news items that I want to touch real quick that I think could be interesting to our listeners. And then what we're going to do is just we're going to share our thoughts about the year 2024, what's going to be the big trends in the EV market, what things to look out for in 2024, and how we see the EV world go forward. Maybe we can recap too a little bit of what we thought was best in 2023. And you guys can chime in for that. So if you're listening right now, we are live on all the apps. You can chime into the comment section and we're going to see them live. So if there's something in particular that you want us to discuss for the last show of the year, you can put there in the comment section right now. And when they get to them in just a few minutes. I just want to mention too, we don't have an official sponsor of this week's episode of the Electric Podcast, but we are promoting our own merch store. You can go to merch.electric.co and you can cop some nice merch branded Electric, some just standard stuff, like good quality stuff with the Electric logo. Or we also have our history of note. It's gone. It's right here. Electric cars of note designed to where you see a bunch of silhouettes of cool looking electric vehicles. All right. Let's jump right in. There you go. So it's the end of the year, and like almost every year, Elon always says Tesla's full self-driving is coming by the end of the year. Tesla's robotaxi is coming by the end of the year, or however you want to put it. Tesla's feature complete self-driving coming by the end of the year. He always moves the goalposts a little bit. But as of late, he said that Tesla will achieve full self-driving safer than human. Now he's used that term and says safer than human, which is, you know, very debatable, of course, by the end of the year. He sort of attached it more to the V12 FSD beta, or apparently not beta, because he did also say that the FSD V12 will not be beta, will take FSD out of beta. So, but also he didn't explain what that is either. He said it would be coming by the end of the year. In the last few weeks, he kept indicating that it's going to be coming soon. We saw the update move from the small engineering fleet to the internal Tesla employee fleet, but that are not necessarily engineering. So it's just like any kind of Tesla employee that has a car that has FSD. And Tesla at time has done like FSD deal where you could get FSD for cheaper. So a lot of Tesla owners obviously Tesla employees who are Tesla owners have FSD, and apparently about 15,000 of them are in that test fleet. So it's a decent number of people. So now all of them have the update, but customers still don't have them. And this week, Elon was asked on Twitter what is going on with the V12 update. And Elon responded, it is already on a lot of cars, like I just mentioned. But given that it is completely new architecture, we are doing extra testing. It works very well in California, but needs more training for AV precipitation areas.
I'm
not sure I get the excuse because I feel like that's the current also version of FSD that it's in our cars. Like it works very well in California, outside of California and where there's precipitation, not that much. But yeah, so he basically signaled that it's not coming this year to consumers. I still think it's going to be coming like relatively soon if it's in the, like this fleet of internal employees is like the last step towards bringing it to customers. Now, Elon is not as enthusiastic as he usually is when you talk about FSD, so that might be a little bit of a concern. But I think it's obviously coming in the next, I don't know, the next few weeks to next few months max, but most likely, almost certainly in Q1 2024. But what is so hard is to get excited fully about. For those people who don't know, the V12, the big update, why Elon says that it's a completely new architecture. Not exactly right. It's completely new, but the main new thing is what do you call end-to-end neural nets, where the privacy, the vehicle controls were coded by programmers. Now it's also being controlled by neural nets, like the computer vision side of the FSD beta was. They brought that to the vehicle controls, vehicle behavior, like if you, what the vehicle is doing is based now on the AI, really. So it is exciting. It has the potential to improve a lot faster with that. But what I really would like to see from Tesla and from Elon is like clear steps towards actually delivering the promise of full self-driving. Like, don't know about you, Seb, but I don't remember the last time where we had like a clear like roadmap where you were like, all right, we'll like go for level four with the regulators. We'll submit the data with the regulators. There was talk about that early on in the program. Like Elon says, it's going to be hard. We're going to have to convince the regulator of it. We're going to have to give them a lot of data, show them that it's a lot safer than humans. We don't hear that anymore. We only hear like, it's going to be mind blowing. It's going to, it's going to be full self-driving. That's all we hear. But that even the term full self-driving now has like kind of lost some meaning for me, at least. I don't know about you.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting because Elon is still touting Tesla as a, you know, an AI firm. What did he say on a tweet like yesterday? He
was AI robotic company.
Yeah, Tesla is not a car company; it's an AI robotics company. And of course, we tongue in cheek replied, well, the auto wipers say otherwise. They make pretty good cars. They make a lot of pretty good electric vehicles. I kind of feel like that's where you should kind of put the wood behind the arrows. Like, we're making a lot of good electric vehicles. And we hope to get to AI, and we're working on it, but it doesn't seem like anybody's taking his timeline seriously. I mean, he's not even putting out timelines, as you said. It's like, you know, we're just going to get to the next step. But the weird thing is, like, you know, with one hand he's saying Tesla is an AI company, but on the other hand he has to create a separate X.AI, probably taking some of his engineers from Tesla's, you know, AI, and, you know, that's a company that he fully owns. He's not, you know, 20% ownership of. So very confusing communications from Elon. I don't think I would expect, full self-driving, maybe ever, at least not in this hardware.
Hardware 4, Hardware 5, and that would be needed to achieve what was originally promised for Hardware.
I think so. I don't know. Maybe like a very rudimentary kind of FSD on current hardware, and then, you know, something that you could probably like comma AI kind of stuff, and then eventually, you know, with hardware 4 or 5, whatever, then that'll get to the robotaxi world. I think that's probably more likely than, you know, whatever the latest promise was.
Yeah. And there's a concern also that, like you said, because there's a possibility that it's not even deliverable on the current hardware, or I shouldn't say the current hardware, but hardware 3, like the self-driving 3 computer and the sensor suite that is the most popular right now, entire fleet, that Elon might be like, just Elon and Tesla in general might be playing some kind of game where they keep us in this limbo that, where there's no clear timeline, there's no clear goal of like level 4, level 3 even. Like, there's no, they're not talking about it. Like, there are automakers out there right now that are going to regulators and applying for level 3 and level 4 systems out there and deliver commercial system. It's not a perfect world. We know what happened with Cruise. That was one of them. Waymo also has had their issues, but they are still going at it, still working. Then you have Mercedes with the level 3 system. They managed to get things approved and all that. We don't see where Tesla is going with that. It's all the chips are in the FSD beta, and you just hope that they actually deliver on that. And where I'm talking about Tesla potentially like just not being straightforward with people is like, the second that they do admit, if it's the case, I'm not saying it's the case, but if they have to admit at one point that, okay, it's not going to work on the level 3 hardware like we promised, then this is sort a monumental shit show at that point, like just a mess of like lawsuits and reimbursement, refunds. It's so many problems that come with that, that maybe Tesla is just delaying. Because if they delayed that long enough to then arrive at the same time, yeah, but we actually did figure out full self-driving on hardware 4 or 5 or whatever it is at that point, then it's not that bad. Like at least like they get away with, as financially speaking, because figuring out full self-driving is such a big value creation tool that even if you screw all your other customers for it, you can still like survive financially. But it would be a mess. Like Tesla would lose a ton of credibility, and I know that I already lost a lot around full self-driving already, but I don't know. We'll see what V12 brings us. Like I still have some hope about V12, but you know, it's not a game changer for me either.
Here's a question, or maybe a prediction. Will we see a FSD refund or real FSD? You know, what's going to hit first? Is it going to hit in 2024? Is this a prediction for 2024 that FSD will either be a refund or actually happen, or that's too far off?
So what do you mean by like FSD actually happens? So like a robotaxi system, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess something along the lines of, you know, not having to have your hand
Tesla
on the wheel.
Taking responsibility for FSD, let's say right. that, because that is really the game changer. Right. Does that happen in 2024? You know, it might happen in some jurisdiction in 2024.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if Tesla, because they kind of have to at this point. Tesla might have to just, all right, let's try to get it approved somewhere by the end of the year. I could see that. But like here in Quebec, for example, I don't see it happening. Like Elon just mentioned it, like, all right, we need to test it a lot more because of precipitation outside of California. Like, yeah, precipitation, like especially snow. Like right now, I cannot drive more than an hour and a half on my car before I have to stop somewhere and clean up my camera if I want FSD to work correctly, because there's always just slush around all over the place. It's just, it's
far. Is that from FSD or just autopilot?
I mean, both, but it obviously, like things that fall under the FSD package, like auto lane change, right. for example, are the ones that are more affected by the side cameras and everything, because obviously the front cameras are easy to clean with the wipers and whatnot, but the rest, it's not easy. Yeah, someone is saying about your mic volume on the YouTube set.
All right, I'm yelling. I can hear myself pretty well.
I can hear you, but like it's really low. It feels low. I'm not sure what's happening.
All right.
This is a question that we get every time we do the podcast every week. So when is the Model Y refresh coming? The project Jupiter or Juniper? Keep forgetting what's Juniper. So like the Highland project for the Model 3, Tesla is simultaneously running Juniper project for Model Y for a refresh. And there was already a little bit of a refresh in October that sort of brought in some of the update, at least the Model Y that's produced out of Shanghai, of the update of the Highland. But Tesla is expected to make a bigger update on the Model Y. And now a new report from Bloomberg sort of gave it like a little bit of a timeline on it, but it's pretty vague. Like at first they mentioned that they have sources in Gigafactory Shanghai that says that the new Model Y is going to hit volume production in mid-2024. But that's volume production. And then later on in the report, they talk about the New Year holiday, where there's going to be a partial shutdown for upgrades at the factory to produce the first batch of the new Model Y. Now, they didn't say the New Year holiday, if it's like the New Year, like the calendar New Year or the Lunar New Year, because in China they have the Chinese New Year in February, that is a bigger holiday, like a bigger holiday there than the regular holiday, like the regular New Year. So I don't know if it's this one they're talking about. They're not clear about that too. But yeah, they also mentioned that it's going to be a bigger update than the one in October without giving us any details of what's going to be updated. So obviously, it's going to be a bigger update than like the ambient light that was added in October. But we don't know if it's going to be like, are they going to bring a similar front end, like the front fascia update that was done to the Island, is because the Model Y is so close in look to the Model 3, or was actually before the Island, are they going to go that direction? Are they going to go something different? Are they going to keep the interior, because the exterior design, because it's not that old of a design either. It feels a little bit older. Like the Model Y was launched in 2019, but because it looks so much like the Model 3, like it feels a little bit older to me at least. But yeah, now we have some sort of idea of a timeline for the refresh Model Y in Shanghai. I know that a lot of people are like, all right, but the Model 3 Highland hasn't even come to North America yet. So yeah, that is obviously a concern, and we don't know exactly when that's going to happen. I would assume it's going to be early in 2024. Like Tesla probably wants to deliver as many vehicles as it can by the end of the quarter. So they don't want to shut down production of Model 3 in Fremont. So that would make sense to me.
What kind of updates do we think are going to happen on the Model Y? I mean, there's not super big updates, but like as a package, the Highland Model 3 is a nice, you know, aesthetic update. We thinking the same thing for the Model Y or anything?
Yeah, I'm thinking similar. It would make sense to just bring the design, the exterior design, especially the front fascia in line, the headlights and all that, similar to the new version, to keep it consistent between the vehicle lineup, since they always were. Same thing with the interior. I wouldn't expect anything too big of a difference. Obviously, probably some internal difference to just always try to optimize to make it more manufacturable, is cheaper to manufacture, faster to manufacture, and all that. So there might be some updates on that front too.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. Moving on, the Cybertruck yesterday had its first real-world crash. There was a crash of the Cybertruck, and there's a lot of talk around that crash. A lot of Tesla fans saying that, oh, it shows that the Cybertruck is so safe. And then the Tesla naysayer, like, it shows that the Cybertruck is so dangerous. I mean, I don't know how they can get that much information out of that crash. Like, it's fairly limited information that we have now. We do know what happened, and like at least what based on the CHP, the California Highway Patrol's report, it's not the car's fault. So all the autopilot, the people that trash autopilot all the time can move on from this one. Yeah, so apparently it's a Toyota Corolla that was driven by a 17-year-old that he lost control of the car, went into the embankment, and then overcorrected and went into the lane on the left that was the oncoming traffic lane, and the Cybertruck was right there and got hit pretty hard. No one was injured, so that's good. Not the Corolla driver and not the three people that were in the car. There was apparently a minor injury to the driver of the Cybertruck, but he refused to get transported to the hospital, so it cannot be that serious. And there were three people in the Cybertruck, so that's pretty good that no one was seriously hurt in the Cybertruck. We have this video dash cam here of the aftermath of the incident that gives us a quick look at the damage. It looks like the driver's side of the Cybertruck got the blunt of it. The Corolla is obviously destroyed, but you would expect that. Like it's a 7,000 pound vehicle versus a small Corolla. Like here you can see the Corolla. I'm very surprised that the driver is fine. Like but it's normal that a car is supposed to, especially if it's a front end collision, it's supposed to crumple like that. It makes sense. So the Cybertruck, the front end, looks okay. It's really just the side here. I saw some other photos that shows too, like it's pretty beat up on the side, like the bumper, the fender, the door, even the door frame looks like it's been curved a little bit. And it was big enough of an impact that the front airbag were activated too. But again, like, so, yeah.
So I don't quite understand. Was it a head-on collision, or was like the Cybertruck was T-boned?
Yeah, it sounds more like it was almost like a little bit of a front end collision, but like not so much. Like the rest was just like a side swipe. Like it's just swiped the whole side of the Cybertruck. Because you cannot go all in with the damage of the, like the Corolla looks like a full on like head on collision. But if it just like a fraction of the front end hit that, but they also hit like the embankment and then they spun around. Like there's a lot of things that might have happened to that car.
That's a good point.
So we cannot go all the way from that. But anyway, the good news for Tesla is like, I think I didn't see any Foundation Series etching on that. So it's probably not a Tesla customer that got hit, unless it's like one of the few first. And also it's in Palo Alto, I should have said. That happened yesterday in Palo Alto, not too far from Tesla's former headquarters. So no Foundation Series on it, etching. Palo Alto, likely be a Tesla employee. And if it is a Tesla employee, Tesla probably going to be able to buy that car back from that employee pretty quickly and then use any kind of information it can get from the Cybertruck, like a real world test crash vehicle, basically. So that's like right now, like you're going to see a lot on social media, Tesla fans praising the Cybertruck for its safety and vice versa for Tesla haters. But I would wait for more information from that. All right, this one was a weird one. We got a leak on the PowerShare mobile connector. This is so PowerShare is Tesla's new brand for the bidirectional charging technology that they're deploying first with the Cybertruck, but it's expected to come to other vehicles, where you can share power with other vehicles, you can share power with your home, you can share power with everything, really. And Tesla has been seen having some kind of advantage on that front, even though it's been some kind of somewhat of a popular feature to have enabled on your electric vehicle for a few years. And remember, it became like more mainstream with the Ioniq 5 and all that. So a lot of people now have that capability in their cars, but it's not used that much because on the home side of things, the hardware that you need there, it's quite an investment, both on the hardware side and the installation side. So we don't know a lot of people that have that. Tesla was believed to have an advantage on that front because they already have their Tesla Energy division. They already have power walls. They already have solar inverters. They already have gateways. They're already connected to people's electric system at their home. So it would be easier for them to link that to their cars if their cars have bidirectional charging capability like their Cybertruck. So Tesla, in the original release, was like, all you need is a Tesla universal wall connector and a gateway. And if you have a car or a power wall, you probably already have those anyway. But now they released this user manual this week for something called the PowerShare mobile connector. And it looks a lot like the existing mobile connector, but the design is different. The design is updated, so it's definitely a new product. However, I looked through the whole user manual thing. Doesn't seem to be anything different from the previous mobile connector based on the user manual, other than it counts the electricity coming in and out. So I guess that's point towards bidirectional charging. But other than that, like there's nothing on it. It doesn't look like the user manual is set up for people using it for PowerShare, using it for bidirectional charging. It looks like, I would be surprised if this just becomes this new mobile connector. And now this one is like, they call it the PowerShare because it's PowerShare enabled, it's bidirectional charging enabled, but they're not ready for that just yet. That's what makes the most sense to me. But it's a clean looking product.
Yeah, it's quite small. I wonder, if there's going to be an upgrade path for current, users.
There's no pricing or anything like that involved. Like the mobile connector with Tesla was like $400, something like that.
They were messing around with the price of that for a while. I mean, obviously, it came with the vehicle at one point, and then
for a long time, yeah.
Yeah, and then it now is a separate add-on.
Yeah, I think they started last year. They stopped providing it with new vehicle purchases. All right, moving on. The GMC Sierra EV Denali was spotted in the wild for the first time. So I guess we're going to talk a little bit about GM at the end when we talk about the EV world and the trends. But GM is starting out 2024 like not only great foot with its biggest EV going out of production and a lot of its other new EV programs being delayed, but there is some exciting vehicles coming in, especially on the pickup truck front. So we have this this Denali, Sierra EV Denali here. That's one of the most exciting offering that they plan to offer and they plan to add to their EV lineup. Can I click on it? I'm trying to click on. This is a new format of gallery for us. I think there's, you see this little thing on the top.
Yeah, it should open.
I guess, but we didn't have that before. This is new.
Yeah, we made a new default.
A new default gallery.
Yeah, I don't know if that's.
It's bugging out right now. It's, I cannot. Cannot click on it. But anyway, so these images were actually shared by a GM official, a GM executive of this new version. I wish we could click on this one because this one is actually good looking. Let me see if I can do something here.
You could probably right click and
open. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah, it's opening up here. Okay. I just need to share the other. There you go. This should work. Yep. The good looking pickup truck.
I agree. Especially with that color.
Yeah, on that color. And obviously it's a shorter bed with the Sierra EV, the Denali. It's more of like kind of a luxury vehicle. Luxury SUV that has a bed behind and get pulled too. That thing can pull. Do we have any specs on that yet?
I believe it's going to be the same as the Silverado with that huge 200 plus kilowatt hour battery and, you know, insane range and, you know, you can tow things forever and all the other stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be like the luxury version of the Silverado, basically.
Mm-hmm.
For GMC, yeah, obviously. Really good. This is Silverado, just Chevy. Last one I want to talk about before we jump into you guys' comment section. So if you guys have any questions for us or any topic you want us to discuss about trends that you want to see in the EV world in 2024, or forward in that too, or things that you think mark the year 2023 for the electric vehicle industry, you can put in the comment section right now. We're going to get to it in just a few minutes. Aptera just closed their year with a good news. So we've been covering Aptera a lot. They have this solar electric car that is super efficient. It's basically a ultra high efficiency vehicle, three wheeler, and it's so efficient that it's worth adding solar panels on top of it because it actually had significant range to the vehicle, significant charging capacity for the vehicle because it's so efficient. So over the last 2 years, they've been raising money. They raised, I think, close to like $80 million from crowdfunding, which is very impressive. But bringing a vehicle to production, it's extremely expensive. They've been trying to look for partners, for manufacturing partners, for larger investors to give them the amount of money that they need to bring it to volume production, because that's the thing. Like, you can bring a vehicle to low volume production, but then the vehicle is not profitable, and it's harder to ramp up profitably with if you start lower. And there's seems to be like a decent number of people interested in the Aptera. Like, they had tens of thousands, I think, of reservation for it, which is very impressive, because it's not an exactly cheap vehicle, but it's novel. Like, it's ultra high efficiency solar car. So the good news this week is like they found a partner in CTNS. So it's a Korean battery manufacturing expert. So they make battery manufacturing equipment, and they signed a deal worth over $15 million with Aptera. That includes a direct investment. So the company is going to invest in Aptera, and they're also going to invest in a battery pack production line at the Aptera factory. I think it sounded like it's going to be at their factory, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So this is very good news for the company. It's one step closer to production. Of course, production was supposed to start this year. Obviously, not going to happen. Maybe next year now with that $15 million investment and battery pack production line. I would hope so, because I'm really looking forward for like this thing. It would be real nice if this thing happens. I'm invested in the company, so I'm definitely biased, but I invested in the company not to make money. I invested in the company because I want that thing to happen. Like, I think it would be super cool to have a new segment in the EV space that's just about ultra efficiency. I think that'd be real cool.
I agree. I think the Aptera is one of the coolest vehicles out there. It kind of looks like it was spun off from our electric vehicle solar race. I hope they can come to our race this year, which is going to be in Tennessee and Kentucky at the Corvette Museum racetrack. So hopefully we'll get them out there in July. Also, Aptera, they've been around for, I don't know, over a decade. And then, you know, at one point they kind of gave up, threw in the towel. And then the EV, you know, Tesla started blowing up and there was a lot more money to invest in. But I still, I'm a little bit worried that they're not about the right things. Like, they're not about getting the manufacturing started. It seems like they keep on asking for more money. And yes, they need more money, but we got to start seeing some results, you know. It doesn't seem like they're making any progress in the manufacturing space yet. So hopefully that happens in 2024.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. It makes sense to see it like that. Their response to that, I guess, is that they are trying to set up production in a way that they're going to be able to achieve volume production profitably, rather than just all right, we could right now with the kind of money we have, we could make 500 of them or whatever, but we're going to make them at a loss, and then it's going to be harder after that to ramp up to volume production. So I guess so you can say that like that, but also at the same time, okay, if you can actually prove that you can make 500 of them and 500 people bought them and are happy with them, that could also help generate another round of investment. I don't know, but doesn't seem to be their approach. All right. Yep. So that's it for all the news this week. Like I said, there was not that many news items to discuss. It was a slow news week, but we can get into your questions and then discuss a little bit of the trend that we think we're going to see in 2024 in the EV world.
All right. First of all, Cisco says Happy New Year. Yes. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes.
Carl in San Diego. Elon is a liar. Stop repeating his lies. Well, we kind of have to keep repeating his lies, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not like we're repeating his lies. We are quoting him what he said, and we're on top of it. We're putting some context of why probably you should take everything he says with a grain of salt, especially that comment I assume came when we were talking about FSD, full self driving, and all that. Obviously, you have to be careful when you talk about FSD and Elon's timelines.
All right, Rinaldo Balms from LinkedIn says 2025 will be the biggest year as everyone adapts to NACS. I can't wait. Well, what about 2024? Should we just
put it? Yeah, I mean, 2024 is going to be also the year of the NACS. They're going to start having the adapters for it. So I think that alone is going to be. Once that happens, there's not going to be that many discussions about connectors in North America. I think it's going to be settled at that point. The NACS is going to be the official standard, and the few automakers that haven't got on board there right now will get on board. They will have to. And throughout the year, more companies going to have the adapter. We reported last week that GM and Ford are going to get it as soon as February, apparently. And then after that, other automakers will get on boarded. But yeah, I agree that 2025 is kind of, we've been talking about it for a long time, and that's going to be the big boom for EVs just because of the availability that's going to have. It's the program that you have right now with the Model Y, with the Model 3, where you have high volume EVs in North America. We looked at things more in North America, obviously, because I know there's other vehicle programs that are available in high volume in China and some of them in Europe too. But in North America, it's Model 3, Model Y, and that's really high volume. In 2025, there's going to be probably a half a dozen, maybe 10 programs like that available, I think. And that's going to be a game changer. That's going to change everything. And yes, NACS is going to be a big part of that too, because one of the things that have been slowing electric vehicle adoption so much has been the charging infrastructures and how it can be frustrating with CCS. Charging station that are not reliable, that keeps There's not maintenance done to them, and you arrive there. There's nothing more frustrating than arriving at the charging station and not being able to plug in and charge. Like, it's just, we reported actually on the Rivian being charged by a Cybertruck earlier this week, and it sounds like that was exactly that situation where they couldn't find a working. They arrive at a charging station, and if you're so low on charge, you might be screwed where you there's nothing else. Like, if there's not a charging station within the remaining range that you have in your battery pack, you're screwed. But then the Cybertruck was there, and Cybertruck has a basically level 2 charging out of the back. So they did that. And obviously level 2 charging a lot slower than the fast charger, but it can give you like just enough to get to another fast charger station, which can be a big deal. So yeah, I think that once every vehicle has access to the supercharger network, and everyone experienced that, just the ease of using the network, if Tesla can keep up. So that's going to be one of the big story, I think, in 2024 into 2025. Can the Tesla supercharger network, especially in North America, because again, the situation is different in Europe and in Asia, can Tesla supercharger in North America sustain its high standard as like the gold standard for EV charging as it onboards all these other new electric vehicles from non-Tesla automakers? That's going to be a big trend to watch, I think, in 2024. Because if Tesla can do that, that might be like one of the biggest contribution to EV adoption. That's going to be like they're going to solve it for North America. And if they can't, it's going to be a problem.
Yep. All right. David Johnson says Mercedes has the guts to back their limited self-driving with regulatory approval and legal liability. Is Elon ever going to accept that?
Yeah, like you said, limited self-driving, you're referring to level 3, which is for short periods of time, so in geofence area where you can activate it, and then Mercedes indeed does take responsibility for the system if something happened. The thing with level 3s and Tesla is that Elon has like trash level 3s every occasion that he talked about it. Like, you see, for him, it's like AI or nothing. It's like full self-driving. Even he talked about level 5 or nothing, which makes no sense because level 5 is everywhere, any condition, it can do it like some of the best human drivers out there. Yeah, you have to say that kind of like a lot of human drivers are not even level 5. Like my aunt, she doesn't drive when it's dark outside. She's not level 5. Like there's people that don't drive in all conditions. If it's snowing outside, there's a lot of people that are like, I'm not taking my car outside because I'm used to. And I know that doesn't make sense for a lot of people. Like if you live in California and like it's always perfect weather out there, maybe you don't know. If you live in Quebec or in a place where there's a ton of snow, where it's just so normal to drive in the snow, you don't think about that. But there's a lot of places where and then people that just don't drive in all conditions. So even Elon saying that, oh, we're just going straight to level 5, that never made any sense to me. I think level 4 makes a lot more sense, which is like almost most conditions and that the system works in. But level 3 has always been like, no, we're not going to do that, which doesn't make sense to me because I see a lot of value in level 3. Like if you're going to be on the highway example for 2 hours and you can clear the whole highway for level 3 and you can offset you can just do whatever you want during those 2 hours, then that's a ton of value right there.
That's huge, yeah. I mean, you can play on your phone, you can read a book. All you have to do is be able to be back at the wheel within 10 seconds. You know, if it starts flipping out or whatever, you have to be, you know, back at the driver and driving. So
yeah, so
you
I can't guess, go to yeah, sleep I guess in the back. Sleeping is out of there, and is out of the question.
For level 3, yeah.
Yeah. But still, like you said, like reading a book, doing some work with your laptop or whatever, like it makes a ton of sense. And Tesla doesn't want to do that. I don't get it because I think Tesla is a lot closer to that than they are to level 4 and certainly to level 5. So.
Yeah. All right. Jonathan Root says EV9. Auto wipers are better than those from the AI robotics company. I would say I've never had auto wipers worse than my Tesla Model 3 and Model Y.
And that's because all other cars use a rain sensor rather than computer vision camera-based system to do it.
Yep.
But even then, you would think like, all right, it's not that big of a, like, you can figure that out with a vision system, especially if you believe that your vision system is now a baby AI, a baby general AI, like Elon said, but apparently not.
Nope. All right, maybe we should take Elon for his word and value Tesla at zero because it cannot drive autonomously despite charging customers thousands of dollars for something that doesn't work. And then continues, if you think it works, read Fred's words at a Tesla FSD, try to kill me. What more do you need to understand how dangerous FSD is on the streets?
No, it is. It is potentially very dangerous. There's no doubt about it. But that's the thing, though. Elon is not right about Tesla being valued at zero. Like, yeah, it would be a lot less valued for sure without the self-driving effort. But Tesla is, without FSD, selling profitably millions of vehicles. So, like, obviously, that's value. So, I don't know why Elon said that, to be honest with you.
I kind of feel like that's like a motivating factor for his, you know, the FSD team. He's like,
yeah,
look, if you can't get this to work, we're done. We're, you know, the company's over. We need you to do this.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those kind of things. All right. David Johnson, any sense of sales volume for Cybertruck? I mean, it's all internal and it's.
Well, there was the Tesla investor relations sent out their, that's not their estimate, that's they pull all estimates for every analyst together. And so the Wall Street estimate is 1,200, I think, in the quarter, which seems high to me. 1,200 is a bit high. Maybe 800, something like that. That would be closer to. Makes sense to me.
Yeah. All right. To be clear, Kia, Hyundai, Genesis does not support vehicle to home or vehicle to grid. They are only built to power an accessory vehicle to load. Anyone plugging into their home is violating the terms of their warranty. Yeah. I mean, it's basically in the US, it's just a 110 volt or 120 volt outlet. You can, of course, plug that into your home and run things off from your home on it, but that's really not what the use case is for those things.
That's fair.
And then goes on to say only Ford does vehicle to home, and it's been a fail for many who bought it.
Has it been a fail? I haven't heard too much from people who actually deployed that. Was it Pro?
I was talking to Tom Malogny from State of Charge, and he came by in Vermont this week, and I don't know if we talked about it this time or a previous time, but he had Ford come out and install it there. I mean, you know, he's got so many battery things going on in his house that it's kind of moot point anyway, but he said he got it working. So I know of at least one person who had it working, although
for how much though, that's the question, like how much right. did it cost you?
Yeah, it was probably quite a bit. Antonio Hollyville, what's going on with Tesla Roof? I haven't heard that in a while. I asked because they canceled my order twice and they say they are not working with customers who are doing additions and the roof is not ready for install yet. I should mention that I'm also doing an addition to our house and I haven't even considered putting a Tesla roof on there. I'm just going to put solar panels on there after it's up. I mean, there's really no point because I have solar panels, external panels, already on there. It would be weird to have part of it with, you know, a Tesla roof and part of it without. But what have you been hearing about Tesla roof?
Well, I think it's part of Tesla's energy's broader strategy to move away from their own installation stuff. And they want instead to own the brain behind your home energy system. So the gateway, the power wall, the solar inverters and all that. So they are certainly putting less effort into that. Now, they are still doing solar roof installation. I know they're focusing a little bit more like on new homes and things like that. So it has taken a backseat if you're doing a remodeling and additions and sort. Now, they cancel your order twice. There might be like a bunch of different reasons for that. Like if it was like the price thing, you can definitely, there's been like a wins in court over that. So you can force Tesla to get the price back, but if they're just not installing in your area, that's a very real possibility because there's plenty of areas where Tesla just doesn't have the capacity to install. So that might sound like it's more like that case for Antonio, I would think.
All right. Carl back, charge point operators, EVgo, EA, etc. are all, I guess, charge point, not the company, but the field are all bleeding money and have no proven model for profitability. The more they need to support the new stations, the worse the problem becomes. Has Tesla ever broken out their cost revenue for the supercharging network? Stands to reason Tesla is bleeding money on it too. I don't see Tesla's in-house manufacturing offsetting idle infrastructure costs. I mean, I think we did hear about the Tesla price on that one Texas.
But that's the cost of deployment though, that you're referencing.
Right.
So they're talking about the entire thing, the entire network as a profit center. So I think we heard recently that Tesla confirmed that like the supercharger is now contributing positively to Tesla's profit, like as of like last quarter or something like that. So I think there's definitely a way to make money off of that. Like it makes sense. Obviously, it's a super capital extensive thing. You deploy them, super expensive to deploy, and then the payback time is over a long period of time. So the business model is not like, it's not rocket science. Like it makes a ton of sense, and it makes sense that it's not profitable right now too. So I'm not too worried about that. Some of these operators should be worried for sure. Like there's a thousand ways you can screw it up, and just a few ways you can get it right. So I'm not saying that they're all going to be okay, but there's definitely a way to make money off of that. Yeah. It's going to be big business. Like fast charging is going to be big business. There's no way.
Yeah. And I mean, Tesla has such a big lead there that it almost seems insurmountable. It does seem insurmountable at this point, especially with the other charger operators having to adapt Tesla's standard, build new hardware. They're already like way behind. And you know, Tesla's got such a big lead there, and then they have money and they're profitable already. So don't know how you catch up to that. Feels like Aptera adoption will be niche for years. Their best play is to prove to everyone that the car is the only one that addresses zero carbon sustainability. I agree with the niche thing. I think that especially at the price point at $30,000, when you can buy a used Chevy Bolt or whatever of like a full on car for that price, it is going to be niche. I think where they become really cool is if they can get it down to $20,000 or $15,000. And if you look at the actual product itself, it doesn't seem impossible to get down to that price if you can get to like huge scale.
You need it's to huge scale. I think that's the difference, because you've seen how they build that, the teardrop chassis. Like it's the same manufacturer that built like the supercars. So
yeah,
it's not cheap. I think scale is once you figure out how to build that at scale, that I think that's the idea. But yeah, niche, like what is niche though? What do you think? What kind of volume would be niche?
I mean, is that like what Porsche does or Ferrari does, or is that what?
Yeah, because what Porsche does, Porsche does like the decent volumes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question.
I think it's going to be like Hellerman. A Prius situation, I think. Like, the Prius wasn't like the best value car out there when it first came out, but it became super popular because it was like the I'm environmentally friendly car. I think that's going to be similar with the Aptera. Like, all right, you think you're environmentally friendly with your Tesla that gets 400 watt hour per mile? I'm getting 100 watt hour per mile.
Yeah, but they have to go to like, just extreme measures to get that price down.
Yeah, the functions of the cars are not as useful for sure.
Yeah. All right, Chris Hellerman, Highland Performance News. We talked a little bit about how the Highland's not being built in the US yet.
Yeah, I think that performance version is probably going to come when they launch it in the US too.
Who do we predict will go belly up in 2024? Ooh. Are there any like interesting, like who's in trouble right now? I mean, are we going to see like Ford or GM
I don't think that's 2024. I think that's later on. If the some of the big ones fall, and definitely some of the big ones will fall, I don't think it's going to be as soon as 2024. I think that's going to be more like the second half of the decade. But some of the AV startups, though, those might fall next year. I mean, things like Fisker, maybe. No, I think they just jumped this week, Fisker. But I don't know. Some of the smaller EV startup. Lucid's probably good through the year, I would think.
Maybe some
fine.
Yeah, Rivian's fine. Maybe some of the the home charger companies.
Yeah.
I feel like there's way too many of those.
Yeah.
Some of the more niche ones might have some problems or, you know, get acquired or merge or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing super obvious, though. I mean, like Subaru is not going to go out of business, I don't think. I'm trying to think. Mazda, no, they won't go out of business. I don't know. Moving on, looking for a wall charger, lots of 7J1772 wall units, but not UL certified. I can see more wall charger available as, NACS is the standard concern, non-UL certified recommendation. I mean, if you're buying today, I would recommend something like an Emporium or a Tesla, with a J1772. But you know, things are changing pretty quickly, so if you can hold off, I would recommend holding off.
Yeah, at this point, other than the like the universal wall connector from Tesla, it's hard to recommend anything else.
Yep. Will there be a price war among the third-party chargers to lure people from the Tesla network?
Okay, you mean like price per kilowatt hour at the fast charging station?
Oh, I was thinking from the, you know, the at level two chargers, but
yeah, but it's Tesla network. That's where I'm.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Like there's a limit on what you can charge for fast charging for sure. Like sometimes it gets close to the price of gas and people don't like that, even though it's not that big of a deal because most people don't charge that often at a fast charging station and you will get cheaper price if you charge overnight at home. But I know that's not available to everyone. So yeah, I think there's going to be like memberships things too that might become popular with some people. I think automakers are going to keep making deals too with third-party charging network companies like they've done in the past with EA and with EVgo and all that. So look out for that. Maybe there's a deal that makes sense for you sometimes. Yeah.
Depending on where you are. So just we'll put this in there. This is more details on next year's Electric Formula Sun Grand Prix at the National Corvette Museum Motorsports Park. We're going to talk more about that as more sponsors come online and we get more details. We're also going to start the other race in Nashville and go through some parks. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and that's all in July of 2024.
So yeah, it should be a fun.
Stay tuned for more. All right, my German's a little sloppy, so yeah, we'll just keep going. Lucid Sapphire, any updates there?
I haven't been following that closely, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll update when we do find something. Crimson Decade, FSD is useless in the Florida rain. It will never be level 5 unless it gets a LiDAR. Yeah, Florida rain's kind of hard to drive in.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's hard to drive for a human, too. Like, if you're talking about the torrential rain like that happens, like you're in the jungle, basically. Like, a lot of people, a lot of the human, they stop on the side of the road when that happens. Like, normally, it's for a short period of time, too, so it's not too bad, but yeah.
All right, Carl doesn't agree with me that you can read a book and safely respond to a problem in time. That is a myth. I mean, I drove in Mercedes Level 3 thing. They told me I could read a book. So I don't know.
You said what? You said 10 seconds that you need to react?
Yeah, they said that you would have to react.
I mean, if you're reading a book and like it starts beeping, you plenty of times put the book down and look ahead and look what's happening. Like, yeah.
Yep. Antonio Hollyville, level 5 will not work until 80 to 90% of cars are driving with the software. I'm not confident anything than level 3 might be feasible in the near future. That's a good point, although I don't know how true it is, but I feel like when everybody's doing the software thing, it's going to be easier.
But that's thoughts. The argument. Okay, the cars need all to talk together, and then, yeah, like everyone understands that if all the cars can talk together, it can make the whole thing a lot safer, a lot easier. But that's the whole idea that Tesla is doing. Tesla is doing the idea of like they want to replace a human driver. You can put them in any situation, and they can figure it out. So I guess that's why Tesla doesn't understand this argument. which makes sense. Like if that's your idea, is like Tesla's idea is basically that they could take their Tesla bot, put the FSD software in the Tesla bot, put the Tesla bot behind the wheel of any car. I'm sorry. And they'll figure it out. Like that's the kind of idea behind it. So you don't need to talk to other cars. Because if you need that's that, funny. Then you're screwed. Like it's, the transition is not going to happen overnight like that.
All right. Is it a bad idea to buy a non-NACS EV currently? I would say no, it's not a big deal. I have, you know, a Rivian and a Bolt. If I want to use my Tesla charger, there's an adapter for that. If I want to use my, you know, if I want to go the other way, there's an adapter for that. It's pretty simple and easy. What do you think?
I mean, it's a bad idea if it's a concern for you to have to use an adapter, because there's adapters are always going to be available. It's just no big deal. It's a little bit more expensive for sure. Like for level two, it's not expensive, but for level three, the charging is definitely expensive. We're talking about a few hundred dollars here. So if you count that into the cost of the vehicle going forward, and you don't mind having to use the adapter, it has like a few seconds every time you want to charge and whatnot, then it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and I think most people are going to charge at home for the most part, so yeah. it's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's a few $10,000 for an adapter.
All right. Tesla needs to update their network for NACS support too. Their pre-2021 cars won't work on NACS. Their supercharger cables are too short. They don't currently support CCS protocol, but NACS needs it. My understanding is that all Tesla vehicles will work on all Tesla chargers currently and into the future. So my understanding is that Tesla has not guaranteed that it's going to move all of its old charger to NACS. It's just that other vehicles, other non-Teslas won't be able to charge at those particular superchargers, which might be kind of a big deal because those were the original superchargers. They were put in very strategic points. Mm-hmm. And if the Chevy and Fords can't use those, then it might be, I mean, I don't know how good a due diligence Chevy and Ford and everybody else did, but I really hope that they realize that there's a lot of superchargers that are not going to be NACS
yeah,
compatible.
But at the same time, Tesla has been known to update their stations with new stalls and or add new stalls that are the latest generation to existing supercharger station. So yeah, it is something to keep in mind for sure, but I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue.
John Kachagias asked if Mazda is going to be around. I think that was during that conversation. I think they're fine, and I think they're partially owned by Toyota. So
yeah, there's going to be a lot of like fusing companies together,
consolidation.
Like consolidation. Yeah.
All right. EA is at 64 cents per kilowatt hour in some states. You know, I think depending on the place and the time, it almost gets up to $1 per kilowatt hour.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's crazy. That's nuts.
So just be careful when you're charging and planning charging. Why is there a disconnect with many saying Toyota is so behind in EVs, but Monroe and Camissa says the opposite?
Monroe says that Toyota is not behind on EVs?
Yeah, I've never heard that.
I mean, I would be surprised about that. I've never heard anyone that is not working for Toyota saying anything else than Toyota is behind on BEVs, we should say, like, because they have a lot of hybrids for a long time, and some people do consider that electric vehicles, but it's battery electric vehicles that they are way behind. And there's no doubt about that. Like, if you're seeing a disconnect, like I think some money exchange hands. Yeah, I mean, Carl says everyone, Toyota would agree about that. Yeah, they would for BEVs they would agree. But at the same time, it depends what you mean by behind. If you mean behind on technology, Toyota would argue that we know the technology, we just don't think people want it. So we could build it if we wanted to. I think they're both behind on the technology and behind on just the deployment in general. But who knows? So Monroe says that Toyota has the capability. I mean, yes, they could do more if they wanted to. There's no doubt they don't want to. That's more the case. Like, they've been investing too much in hydrogen fuel cells. and they don't see a market in BEVs globally. Like they admitted that in China there's demand for it, and they have invested more in China in BEVs in China. The Japanese, they move slowly. The big companies in Japan, they move slowly. Like they do, we did that thing last year. It was going to work next year. And they don't see the trend right now of BEVs taking over the whole world in the next, by the end of the decade. So they're going to be surprised by what's going to happen, I think, in the second half of the decade.
Agree.
All right. Well, that's it for us. That's it for the Electrek podcast in 2023. I appreciate every single one of you that tune in for this show and for all the shows all the year. Thanks to all our sponsor this year, too. And we're going to hit the ground running next year. You're going to see us next Friday, same time, same place. I hope you guys have a great new year. Stay safe out there. Have a good one.